I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And good Saturday morning. Welcome into another Gulf Coast weekend. Could be a little bit of a wet one, but also muggy. But, hey, we got lots happening. This is the peak of the fishing rodeo season across the great Gulf Coast, and I got some information on a couple of them taking place. You might want to catch the weigh-ins. Dose of the Coast, that Redfish Rodeo, that's going to be down at the Delta Marina in Burris. Weighing in later this evening, the fishermen will bring in the two heaviest redfish slot size, under 27 and above 16. I got a lot of people down there fishing for those reds this morning, and hopefully they can catch one of those star-tagged reds, too. Wouldn't that be a bonus? We also have the 38th Annual Creole Classic Fishing Tournament. That's wrapping up today. Been going on since Thursday at Bridgeside Marina in Grand Isle. They've got a lot going on down there today. You might want to stop by and watch some of the big ones come in during the weigh-in. As far as the CCA tournament going on, we got a complete update on that. There have been some changes on the board. Of course, the biggest news was yet another one of those tagged redfish has been caught, but unfortunately, as they say, no tiki, no RV for a young man from Arkansas. We'll tell you more about that story. And we got those live up-to-the-minute fishing and condition reports from our field staff of experts. You'll be hearing from them this morning. And because I know how many of you look forward to our weekly Bad Boys of the Outdoors honorees, today we have Confessions of a Deer Poacher for your listening pleasure. You want to be by your radio for that one. You may recall we've been talking with the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Undersecretary Brian McClinton throughout the legislative session. They were successful in getting a bill passed for the increases in your hunting and fishing licenses. That's to better fund the agency. But along with it, there's been a little bit of confusion and about the who, what, and when, and Brian's going to be on with us a little bit later on to set the record straight among some of this erroneous information that's going out there. So if you have a question, I know a lot of you do because I've been hearing from you for the last couple of weeks, about how a change affects you with regard to hunting and fishing licenses and you'd like it answered, text me your question for Brian, and I'll pass him along when we get him on. That text number, of course, you can send all your fishing reports, your comments, and your questions to 504-260-187. You got a question about hunting and fishing license changes? We can answer it for you this morning. Again, text me your question at 504-260-187. As far as what you're going to encounter when you step out of the door, if you haven't done so already, we're looking at a pretty rainy weekend. 60% chance today, 80% tomorrow. I'm looking at the radar right now. Just some little light showers popping up as far as spots and specks along the map, but that's very likely to increase, so you certainly want to bring the wet weather gear with you today. If you're going offshore, southeast winds 10 to 15, 2 to 4-foot seas. That will intensify a little bit tomorrow on the sea height. Could be as high as 5 foot. That's marginal for a lot of boats to get offshore. Inside, those southeast winds 10 to 15 knots, a moderate chop on the open interior bays, and your average tide range, and rarely do we see this in Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, the Gulf Coast, 2.3 average tide range. That is a rocking and rolling. Mississippi River level is at 9.2 and falling. And, of course, we got some high tides. You're going to be faced with incoming tides in most of the areas today, and they won't really top out till much later. And then in the afternoon is when you'll catch your falling tide. So if you like to fish a falling tide in your favorite spot, you might want to plan your trip for the afternoon. All right, when we come back, boy, here it is. We got a whole lot to talk about this Saturday morning. We'll kick it off in Shell Beach with Robbie Campo's report. He's up next, and you're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, we're talking about fishing rodeo season in Louisiana. We're in the peak of it, and they hold quite a few rodeos down at Campos Marina in Shell Beach. Robbie Campo was there to update us on the latest conditions and fishing information. Robbie, you guys were having a rodeo last weekend and all that bad weather. I understand it went off and there was some fish caught, huh?
Yeah, you know, Don, it went, you know, it was a kid's rodeo. It was Knights and Nemesis, Hope Kid on Fishing Rodeo. And it didn't start off too good in the morning because we had water on the highway, but, you know, the water receded and, you know, kids came out and people came out and it wound up saving the day. But, you know, for the most part, but I tell you, it didn't look good when I first got here about 4:30 in the morning. Boy, I was like, oh, man, water to the blacktop on a, you know, I was like, this is not going to happen. But it did happen, and it all worked out, and they gave away, gave the kids a bunch of prizes, and, you know, a bunch of prizes to the people who won, and there was some big black drums caught off the dock here, some kids caught, and it went off pretty good. I sure did. You know, Don, yesterday, man, those guys that went out there did snapper fishing yesterday, because you could do snappers Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Those guys did awesome yesterday. Speckled trout fishing in the last 3 days has been off the charts, man. It's been really, really good. By the island, you know, people are wade fishing. Of course, I'm not getting in that water. I think there's too many sharks in it. I had a guy told me the sharks is biting the string off the side. I'm good. I'm not getting in the water. Shark week's coming up. I'm not getting in it. But anyway, but in the boat over around, over you guys that don't like to get in the water, wants to fish out the boat, boat by Central Rigs and all the little satellite rigs around there. They did really, really well this week. Curlew, Freemason, you know, the all the usual stuff way out to the east. Up a little bit closer in, Comfort was good. The south side, the east, maybe the western side of Comfort. One at Reef on the End was good. White Log Lake, Christmas Camp Lake, over the Oyster Reefs was good. Over in Bay Elwha was good. Around the Long Rocks, which is something we hadn't heard much of in the last month, because the water has been really dirty over there. Long Rocks turned on. And I tell you what, it really, really did good was right behind the dam on the backside of it. With some really, really nice trout caught behind the dam here in the last couple of days. So a lot of great fishing, Don. And if you want to go chasing reds, reds been a little bit tough. Not as easy as it was, but they are still catching some redfish on the eastern shoreline of Lake Vaughn. And if you want to go behind the Hopedale, Delacroix area, they're still catching some back there. It's been a struggle. You know, the guys have been working. My guide is telling me they've been working really hard to fill the limit. So, a redfish is something that's chased 24 hours a day. So he's either got a guy with a boat chasing him at night, or he's got a redfish tournament boat burning him off the bank, or he's got a guy trying to catch him. So he's redfish is he'd probably hunk it down in a deep bayou somewhere. I know that's where I'd be if I was a redfish. But Don, look, another thing I want to touch on real quick: if people need live bait this morning, we are almost out. If you want live bait, stop at Paris Road. Stop by Tony Cucci or by David Dixon. Because I want everybody to have it. These guys got live bait. Stop there and get it. You're not going to hurt my feelings. These good friends of mine, stop there and get bait. I want everybody to have it who wants it. We are just about out. I had a load of captains here this morning, and my captains just cleaned me out. And I'm only able to use the tanks that's, the above-ground tanks, the ones in the water down there just – and not living in it, the water quality is it ain't no good around here. So, it's really poor. Shrimp won't live in the bayou, and my tank's in the bayou, so I'm only able to use the ones up on top. But at daylight, if you're coming out at daylight, our boats are going to be dragging right here by the marina right in the midst of go. You can get it off the boat if you wish to do that. So, but if you want to get your bait and you're on your ride down here right now, stop at Bait Inc. or stop at Mr. Tony Cucci over there where the old Gulf Hall Marina is and get you some bait. Don't, because we're all going to be in the same boat. Us hope that everybody's going to be in the same boat. We're going to be out of bait this morning. It's just, you just can't keep enough alive. That's all there is to it. So with that said, Don, they're coming down. Hook the left. Come on down and see us, and we'll be waiting on you.
Robbie, one more thing. I want you to remind your snapper fishermen that leave out of there and fish the red snapper. They're going to have an extra day next week for that 4th of July weekend. So it'll be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So if they're going to be fishing, you know, in the latter part of the weekend, snapper illegal on those three holidays, the Mondays, Memorial Day, Labor Day, and 4th of July. So got a little bit of extra land
good.
Up there
that's
on
good.
The snapper.
And Don, I just want to let people know that we are the only star tournament weigh-in station in St. Bernard. So if you have a star tournament fish, bring it over here, and we'll weigh it for you and get you checked in. I would not leave without that star tournament ticket. It's a good thing to have. I was listening to Rad on the phone. He said Thursday night, and he said that they had a tag redfish that was caught on the west side of the river. No ticket. So
yep.
I know a guy who did that over here. We're not going to mention Chad's name. My boy Chad. But anyway, yeah, I'm just messing with him. I mess with him every time I see him about it. But he don't leave the wharf without a CCA ticket anymore, I promise you. But, you know,
yeah, you never know.
But it's worth it. Absolutely,
yeah.
It's worth
yes,
it.
It happens every year. People catch them and they're unregistered.
Right.
You
yes,
got to
does.
Buy that
yes,
ticket. Okay, Rob, y'all have a great weekend, my friend. We'll see you next time.
All right, Don. Talk to you next Saturday, buddy. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. Robbie Campo at Campo's Marina in Shell Beach. All right, yeah, we're going to tell you that story. It was a 12-year-old boy that caught that tagged redfish. Unfortunately, he was not registered. Got to have that ticket. All right, we come back after this. More fishing reports, your text messages. Don't forget, if you got a question about the license changes and you'd like it from the source, the right legitimate answer, Brian McClinton's going to be joining us later on. He'll address it for you. Text me your question at 504-260-1870. We're back right after this on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And if you want to take that bass challenge, Jeff Rule's got some info for you. His fishing report is a presentation of Berkley, a division of Pure Fishing. You know them. They got the Berkley line of gulp baits for crappie, bass, inshore, offshore, saltwater. And while I'm talking about that, let me tell you about those crappie nibbles. They're not just for the sockeye or white perch. They work well on brim and also catfish, and they're so easy to use. Look for them, crappie nibbles. And, of course, they got fishing lines of all types, braid, monofilament, fluorocarbon, and all the accessories you could ever want. If it has to do with fishing, Berkley has it, a division of Pure Fishing. Good morning, Jeff. What can you tell us for those headed out for some freshwater fishing this weekend?
Bring your rain gear because you're going to be dodging showers.
Number one advice. You're right.
Yes, but other than that, you know, it should be okay. I'm headed to the chef this morning to check out some of the reports I've been getting. The bass reports are pretty poor for the area. I don't know if it's because of the freeze or just the weather we've been having, but they're not catching a lot of bass in the reports I'm getting. So it's all about tide down there. Sometimes these incoming tides in the morning make it tough, and it's probably better in the afternoon. But the lakes and rivers that we have to fish, we have to deal with the tide. And, you know, sometimes I've been with a two-hour window where I'm slamming the fish, catching just about every cast, and then the tide stops and the fish quit biting. So I'm going to hopefully have a report in a few weeks for you on that and see what the ship looks like. But overall, the reports are kind of slow for the bass fishing in that area.
How about those rivers? Are they still up high and muddy?
Yeah, it's been tough on the rivers. It's 4 to 6 pounds is some of the tournament stringers that are, you know, actually get you a check on some of these evening tournaments. But 10 pounds are usually winning most of them. You always have somebody they'll find a little group of fish and catch a good size limit, but overall it's they're fishing pretty tough too. They're just high and muddy all the time. So all these rainstorms we're getting is just keeping them up and keeping them muddy, and this makes it hard to get to the fish because a lot of times they're back up in the woods.
Jeff, we're going to get a break on a chaffalaya this year, man. It just seems like that river will not drop, and we need it.
Yeah, I got my fingers crossed. There's some good reports coming from Morgan City area. You know, first the river's at 4.4 feet on the Morgan City gauge. And it looks like this week it's going to fall to 4 and be pretty steady at that level for probably about a week or so. But if you look at the Mississippi River gauge, it's starting to fall pretty good. And I'm hopefully this fall, the basin and all that's going to be down to levels where we can fish. But from bass to panfish, the reports are good. On the Verrett side, the bass, they said crankbaits around wood, Florida rig, you know, in and around the grass are producing some bass. And then the other thing is that I'm getting a lot of numbers. You know, they're catching a lot of fish, small fish, but that's a good sign for the future because they got a good hatch of fish. And then the Sockeye and Brim reports are good. And it's basically just throw a cork and a jig around cypress trees and grass mats and stuff. But also the catfish are biting out in the lake, Barrett area and stuff. You can go take a night crawler and under a cork and take your kids out there and catch a few catfish to eat. But overall, the river's falling and the conditions are improving.
Jeff, an area I don't seem to get many reports from. Maybe you do or maybe you don't, but it just seems like it's not talked about much. The old Lake Cataguachi complex over there by DeZalmans. Are you hearing any good news at all over there? I'm hearing that, you know, that diversion over that way has kind of been up and down, and it killed the grass, but the grass is coming back, and it's too much grass. What's the situation over there?
Anytime you have flooded, muddy water, it happened at Toledo Bend and it happened over at Cataguachi. Excuse me. The mud just blocks the sun out, and it kills the grass from growing off the bottom. You'll have some grass in some areas, but the overall area is not grassed over like it was before. I know earlier in the year they were catching bass, but you know, winning stringers over there about 8 to 10 pounds. It wasn't a big fish like they were years ago, and that's mainly because all the grass is gone, and it's just hard to find good fish. And you know, remember, they got redfish and sharks and stuff like that eat bass, and sometimes they lose the grass to hide in, they get eaten.
Got a tip for us before you go?
The color choices. You know, I think too many anglers put emphasis on, you know, specific color, you know, especially some of the lakes you go, Alabama and different states, they always say, oh, you got to throw a watermelon color. But I'm more of a simplified approach. I'd either go dark or light colors. If you know, water clarity is important, but if I'm throwing like a white or white and chartreuse bait and I'm not getting a lot of bites, I'm going to switch to a darker color like a watermelon or black and blue. And besides watercolors and fishing pressure and bait forage and time of year, you know, all that helps to help you match the hatch. But if you're using one kind of color and you're not doing well, just go to a darker color, kind of switch back and forth till you figure out what the fish want to feed on.
Got it. Jeff, thanks for the report. As always, we appreciate it. Good luck on your trip over there at the Chef. Be interested to hear how you do, and don't get sucked into catching a bunch of saltwater fish. You know, that can happen. If they start tearing up your bait, you kind of forget about the bass for a while. But, you know, stick with it and let us know how you do.
Well, the problem is when you're throwing a little spinner bait or a worm, them redfish eat that just as easy as the bass do. So sometimes you got to kind of take what's given to you.
Yes, you do. Thanks again, Jeff. Appreciate it as always.
Thanks, Don.
All right, Jeff Brule, our freshwater fishing reporter. When we come back after this, I'm going to get to some of your text messages. By the way, if you happen to have a question about the impact of changes on the new hunting and fishing licenses, by the way, they do not go into effect until about a year from now in 2022, and your license is getting ready to expire in the next few days. I'll tell you more about that right after this time out on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, we're talking about your hunting and fishing licenses for Louisiana, and Brian McClinton, the Undersecretary, is going to join us next hour. And if you've got any questions you need answered about lifetime licenses or recreational fishing licenses, anything to do with particularly those that underwent some changes, text that question in, and I'll pass it along to Brian at 504-260-1870. Got a few coming in, and we've also got the regular questions and comments. We'll get to those in a minute. But talking about your license, it's time to renew. And this will change, but for now, all licenses in Louisiana expire at midnight on June 30th. Doesn't matter when you bought your license, it expires on June 30th. Unless you bought it earlier this month, then they give you those extra days, and you can actually fish or hunt with a 2021 license, you know, until the other one comes around. You can use it. It becomes effective immediately the day you buy it is what I'm trying to say. But at the end of this month, which is Wednesday, they're all going to expire, so you need to renew it or buy yours for the first time. And when you do, there's going to be a box to check about making a donation to Hunt for the Hungry. And I got to tell you, this is a great organization. They donated last year over 50,000 pounds of food. Now, they not only take venison or other types of wild game, they also take fish. And look them up. It's Hunters for the Hungry. I can tell you this. In fact, you hunters that are tuned in right now, hunting is become more cost effective this year. Because if you haven't noticed in the stores, the price of red meat has gone from just a few months ago was $7.35 a pound. It is now $13.20 a pound average. So take care of your game. It's getting more and more precious. And if you got more than you need, I certainly consider making that donation. But if you check that box, you can make a cash donation if you don't want to donate some of your fish or game to Hunters for the Hungry. All right, we come back right after this quick pause. I got some more information to tell you about. Also, we're going to check on those text messages and run down the Star leaderboard, give you a little bit of an update. That's next after we pause 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, checking on our text message board again. That number is 504-260-1870. Question, does anyone catch big bass in City Park? I'm assuming you talk about New Orleans City Park. Yes, there are some big bass in there. There were some that were leased by some of the bass clubs. They also have wildlife and fisheries come out and manage it. And actually, they conduct shocking studies, and I always pull up some big ones, and they put them back in there. So you can. In fact, I'll get Jeff. Jeff is pretty good at fishing City Park lagoons. I've fished with him there for bass, doing the City Park Bass Rodeo, which has not been held for the past couple of years because of the COVID problems. But I'm sure next year it'll come back. It's been a long-standing tradition. It's the oldest freshwater fishing contest in the nation, I believe. And, yeah, that's correct, in the entire country. And there are some big bass in City Park lagoons. And it's free to fish there. It doesn't cost anything just after you have your regular fishing license. All right, let's see. We've got, let's see. Oh, okay, a report from Ed over in Wilmer, Alabama. Mobile Delta got high water everywhere. Yeah, that's going to be a problem where the rivers flow into the deltas in all across the Gulf Coast. Those rivers remain high and muddy. But once it starts falling out of there, it should be getting much, much better. And we got Justin, who is in the Gentilly Wildlife Refuge. And he poses a very thoughtful question here. The butterflies, dragonflies are everywhere. How come birds can sing at 2 a.m., but he can't play drums at 2 a.m.? Obvious answer to that question, Justin. You know, I was noticing that the frogs, you know, they reach their peak of singing, I'm going to say, from about an hour after dark till about midnight. And then it kind of tapers off the later it gets. I don't know what that's all about. All right, let's see. I got some more of these here. Smokey's checking in with us. He's not fishing today, but he'll be fishing on Monday. Good luck to you, Smokey, and thanks for tuning in. All right, I got some more of these lifetime license questions coming in. We'll pass those along to Brian McClinton when he joins us a little bit later on. Here's one says, a good report. And we love when our listeners share their fishing reports with our other listeners. Great show. Bass are biting on watermelon speed crawl on Bayou Liberty. That's Big Mike from Bayou Liberty. Good spot is Bayou Parquet to the fork of the bayou. There you go. That's some good fishing advice for you. All right, we come back after this break. I'm going to run down the CCA leaderboard, the Star Tournament board, and also tell you a pretty sad story about a young man who missed out on a big-time prize. You heard me and Robbie talking about it. Caught one of those tagged redfish, but unfortunately was unregistered. His story plus the leaderboard rundown right after this time out on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, if you've checked out my website at dontheoutdoorsguide.com lately or my Facebook page, you may have seen a picture of a young man, a 12-year-old from Arkansas. He recently caught one of those 100 tagged redfish. It's not clear whether he was fishing with a licensed charter guide or not, but unfortunately what we do know, he was not registered for the Star Tournament. So he caught the redfish. Poor kid. He would have won a motorhome from Bent's RV. That would be given to the second tagged redfish that was caught by a registered participant. Unfortunately, the fish was not returned alive. So one was caught by a Dr. Kenneth Nash, and he was confirmed, so he's the truck winner. But as far as we know, there's 98 of them still out there swimming. So before you head out fishing salt water, make sure you get that star ticket. Looking at the leaderboard, there's been some changes. No change, though, for the Speckled Trout East. Ed Sexton, previous winner, he's got a 6.36-pounder. He waded in at Cypress Cove Marine in Venice. He is the leader for the Eastern Division. You know, Speckled Trout is broken up into four different zones. The Southeast Zone, Dustin Joseph DiBenedetto has a 6.34. That was weighed in at Port Fouchon Marina. Speckled Trout in the Southwest, Pierce Buffy, weighed a 3.55 in at Gulfway. You know, that area is affected by the Atchafalaya River, so hopefully when that river starts dropping, they'll get some bigger fish in there. So this is kind of surprising that a 4.39 is the leader in the Western Division of the Speckled Trout category. That was caught by Merrill Smith, Hackberry Marina. Not sure that one's going to hold up throughout the tournament. I had a really nice flounder come in, 5.53 pounds. Robert Langston caught that one over in the west area and waded in at Calcasieu Point. A mangrove snapper, that's the one, Adam Grazafi, a 12.36. That was caught and weighed in near Cypress Cove in Venice. Lemonfish, boy, jumped out with a really big lemonfish, 60.5 pound lemonfish by Thomas Ross Enquist. If that holds on, he'll win a $5,000 offshore tackle package. Dorado, or the Mai Mai Bull Dolphin, they call it, 5.86. Peter Landry got his. He waded in at Bridgeside Marina. That is unusually small for a leaderboard Dorado. Red Snapper got a monster caught, a 27.22. Bruce Pennison waded in at Port Fouchon Marina. That's the leader there. There's going to be a lot of snapper fishermen out this weekend. Of course, 4th of July weekend if the weather allows it, so that could be in jeopardy. But, boy, it's going to be tough. Fly fishing, do not have a speckled trout brought in on the Eastern Division. It's wide open. Jeff Ferguson is the leader in the West Division. 1.80 is the leader there. You caught that and waded in near Hackberry Fishing Camp and Marina. There's a ladies-only speckled trout division broken down to east and western parts of the state. In the east, Kim Lemoyne has a 3.48. That was weighed in at Port Fouchon. Ladies-only speckled trout in the west, Bailey Frugier, 5.24. Pretty respectable. That was at Hackberry Marina, and actually that would be the leader overall, but she chose to put it into the ladies-only category, which probably was a wise move. Not going to be near the competition in that category as it would be in the open division. Then we have kayak in the east. Chris Weaver, Amy's dad, 2.32, weighed his fish at Puglia Sporting Goods in Metairie. Kayak in the southeast, Ryan Goday is the leader there, 3.36. That's Gale's Bait Shop. And we're going to have a kayak report coming up a little bit later on with Brendan Bayard. The southwest division for kayak is wide open. In the west division, Luke Beslin, 4.65. Hackberry Fishing Camp and Marina weighed that fish in there. And then we have the sheephead category, which is pretty hotly contested. A lot of sheephead are caught, and usually they will come from that Rigolese eastern end of Lake Pontchartrain area. And this year, we've got Connor Michael Schaefer, the leader in the east, 7.41, weighed his in at Shag Sporting Goods. And for the sheephead in the western division, Randy Duga, 7.15. How about that? Pretty close, huh? What is that, 1/100th of a pound difference on that one? And then, of course, as we mentioned, the redfish, Kenneth Nash, Wade is in at the Venice Marina. He claims the Chevy Silverado pickup truck. And then we have the poor young guy. I don't have his name, but his picture's on all over the place with his redfish and his nice straw hat. But unfortunately, he was not registered. So there's still a lot of chance to get out there and catch those tagged redfish. And this star tournament goes all the way through Labor Day weekend. So lots of time. If you're headed out, you're going to be fishing. When you get your license, make sure you get a star ticket, too. One thing I forgot to mention about the license, if you're going to be fishing for offshore species, it is mandatory that you also have, in addition to your basic and saltwater recreational licenses, an ROLP, Recreational Offshore Landing Permit, go to Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, and you can get it online. It's absolutely free, but it is mandatory. In fact, I just got a notice on mine was coming up for renewal, so I need to get that renewed and taken care of. All right, one last thing on CCA. Those of you in the Acadiana chapter, your banquet is scheduled for this coming Tuesday. That's going to be at the Bustani Center, Heyman Center in Baton Rouge, I'm sorry, Lafayette. Cocktails at 5:30, dinner at 7, auction at 8 o'clock. It's $75 per person, and it's $45 for a spouse, $25 for a youth. And we got a whole list that'll take us all the way through the summer on CCA chapter events. Kind of missed out on them last year with the whole COVID thing, but it's all wide open now. All right, one of the more popular fishing places this time of the year, Grand Isle, Louisiana. And to give us the update on what's happening there, Daryl Carpenter's next from RealScreamers.com. And you can hear it right here on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And to give you some fishing information on Grand Isle fishing, let's talk to Captain Daryl Carpenter, RealScreamers.com. Daryl, what's going on in Grand Isle this weekend? I know we got a couple rodeos going on and a lot of people heading out there for summer vacation. Island's got to be hopping about this time of the year.
Well, Don, you know, normally it is, but I can tell you, I mean, this past week has been, well, it's all Mother Nature related. It's all weather related. We had, what, 3 days this past week where the weather calmed down. We didn't get 12 inches of rain, and the wind quit blowing. And sure enough, we caught fish. The water cleaned up real nice and pretty. To give you an example, I just came off lane at a spot that yesterday we fished, and we had 18, 20 inches of visibility. And looking at it, it looks like this morning we've got maybe 4 inches of visibility. Wind changed out of the south. It blew pretty good all night with thunderstorms, so water's muddied up a little bit. You know, it's just you gotta kind of pick your day. And right now, and the majority of the week, if you're doing 20, 30 trout on a trip, you know, we're having to retreat and do the inside, which means a whole lot of knotheads. You're certainly spending your day in exercising your arm because you'll catch, you know, 70, 80 to keep 20, 30. So the fish are here. It's just we've got to make a consistent summertime weather pattern to really go and fight it. Really, really good fish when we're able to get out front. I'm talking fish averaging 2-3 pounds. But when you got to retreat to the back, you know, we're fishing the nursery, so you got to expect that you're going to have some small ones. Did a little bit of red fishing earlier this week. We did find that the redfish are, you know, stay out of the marsh ponds right now. It's not fall yet. So what redfish that we have around are all seem to be in the bigger water. So stay, work the banks of the bigger bays, which in itself, you know, is a little bit better than this. But, I mean, you're certainly catching fish. It's just not what we would anticipate, what we would expect right now this time of the year. We've got to get a stable weather pattern here. Everything's going to clean up and come down.
Daryl, as far as the bait situation down there, is it freely available at most of the bait shops on the island?
Oh, yeah, Don. The shrimp have still been running good. Looking at it, you know, we're starting to see some small whites show up, but they're really not that many, and they're really not that small. I'm sure Wildlife and Fisheries is going to end up closing the spring season before too long. But the bait, you know, the bait stores have got that exception license where they can pull even during the closed season. So there's been plenty of shrimp. Some fish have been just as effective, you know, and some of the bigger fish. What has surprised me, and maybe I'm just spending more time on it, is the consistency that we've been doing on plastic. Plastic has been very productive when you get cleaner water. And it seems to be producing slightly larger fish. So plenty of bait, but if you want to throw plastic, it's productive too if you can find water.
Daryl, those fish you picked up yesterday, were they under a cork or were you fishing them tight line?
That all depends on your customer, Don. The majority of what we had yesterday was all under a cork.
Yeah, and about how deep were you fishing?
Most of them about 2.5-3 foot, and it also depends on the structure you're fishing. I mean, it's like right now we just pulled up on a sand flat that's usually loaded full of pogies. You can fish this just about any way you want. But you know, when you start looking for other structure, if you're fishing rocks or something like that, of course, it limits you to cork. And stay away from the jig heads. I mean, you know, we had a couple of spots this week where we were switching from plastic under the cork to shrimp, but we were in spots that we could leave the jig heads on and just put the shrimp on it. Fishing that hard structure.
Yeah, Now, we got the Redfish Rodeo is coming up, and I know they got the Ride the Bull. The bull's starting to show up in the passes and those deeper cuts.
It's been a little bit slow on them, Don, but they have been some caught. There's some bulls in the lower bays, too. Not necessarily on the offshore passes, not necessarily in Caminata or Barataria Pass, but there have been some bull reds in like, you know, the pass coming out of what we call the crack, you know, on the interior passes have had some bulls in them, but they're not stacked up yet. That'll probably take, I don't know, another 2-3 weeks, but the pogies and the bait are certainly here to draw them here.
Darryl, what about flounder? You know, that is one of the species that they're really scrutinizing to maybe make some adjustments because people are just not reporting some catches of them. Have you seen many flounders come in and out the docks?
I'm starting to see, you know, we communicate a lot with our buddies like John Pounders and his guys up in the feet, and they're starting to see some flounders a little further up north, but hadn't heard or seen a whole lot here around Grand Isle. There's been some people that have been, I know that I've had some people gigging around the house, and from just watching them as they're gigging, it doesn't look like they're real active. It looks like the flounders that we have here are still pretty much up in the marsh, maybe a little further north.
All right, Darryl, they can find you on my website under the Field Reporters, and give them your website and telephone number if they want to look for some trip availability down in Grand Isle.
Well, they can find me at realscreamers.com or just pick up the phone, 225-937-6288.
All right, my friend, go get them. We'll catch up with you next week.
We're fixing to start sinking some live shrimp in this muddy water and see if they're still here.
All righty. Good luck to you and the crew. There he goes, Darryl Carpenter. All right, coming up after this, Brian McClinton's going to join us, Undersecretary, Department of Wildlife and Fishery. You got a question on the new hunting and fishing license changes, regulations, and prices. He can answer it for you. Text me your question, 504-260-1870. Plus Mike Gallo, Ryan Lambert, Brendan Bayard. More fishing info coming your way on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And welcome into the second hour of the show. Glad to have you with us. As promised, we have Brian McClinton, who is the Undersecretary of Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, joining us. If you have a question for him regarding licenses, we ask you to text it to me at 504-260-1870. We'll pass it along. Brian, good morning. Thanks for being with us to kind of clear up some of the confusion on the license restructuring.
Thanks for having me, sir.
Brian, first, if you would, let's address the lifetime license, because I think that's where most of the confusion is coming in. What's the latest on lifetime licenses in Louisiana?
So, you know, currently all the licenses that we offer are still being for sale. They're still on sale until June 1st, 2022. Starting next year, June 1st, 2022, we're no longer going to have the individual hunting license and individual fishing license, which both sell for $300. We have a combination hunt fish license that currently sells for $500, and that's going to still be available for $500. It does not change. So, you know, once June 1st, 2022 hits, you can only buy the combination hunt fish lifetime license. That's the biggest change. There were some immediate posts that went out and kind of got viral, and so I really appreciate you getting us on that, be able to say that on the radio. So thank you so much.
And what about the age differential where it was, you know, prorated based on the age? There were different fees. Is it one license now available, all ages at $500 effective June next year?
It is until you hit 65, and then they have a senior lifetime at 100. So during the bill, we had a youth resident and a non-resident proposed, and they lowered the resident back to the youth's rate, so now we just have one license. So it's just $500 from birth to 65, and then $100 when you're 65 and older.
And, of course, if you're a non-resident of the state, it's $4,000 for the lifetime license, correct?
Yes, sir. It went up from $3,000 to $4,000.
Okay. I also got, while we're talking about lifetime license, I had a couple of questions come in. One wanted to know if they could get it online. It's my understanding that in the past you had to go to Baton Rouge and produce, you know, two forms of identification. Is that still the criteria, or is it available online now?
No, sir. We still have to have those documentation. So you can mail it in. We get a lot of those in the mail. Just know that we are backed up in mail. We are trying to fill some positions and get caught up. But if you know, there's plenty of time, and we will get it processed. But you can mail your documentation, and we can take photocopies. I think at one time it was only original. A couple of statute changed a couple of years ago, and we do accept photocopies of birth certificates and things. But you can mail it to us, or you can come to Baton Rouge.
And what about email? If you scan those documents, is that acceptable to email the application?
Yeah, I do believe we do email. I'm not sure the email address, so to give it to on the show, sir. But it's on our website. We started accepting email last year during COVID. So they can scan it and email it in. Again, that process takes a little longer than if you come in, you walk out with it. But they can do that as well.
All right. So I have a question in about, well, I have to pay for gear license on crab traps, et cetera, with the new license. I believe that new saltwater license includes crab traps, oyster tong, and shrimp trawl. Am I correct?
You're 100% correct. Yeah. So,
all right. So, yes.
So once you buy your basic license for $17, you can harvest freshwater fish, any legal means necessary. When you buy that additional $15 add-on for saltwater and you pay $32, you can harvest, you know, any gear fee, all that's included.
All right, now I have a question about the license paper and the tags. Is it going to be the same, or is there some improvement? Some people say they're having trouble with weatherproofing the paper that the licenses are printed on.
Yes, sir. That's something that actually has nothing to do with the bill. That's when we entered into our last licensing contract with the vendor that we're currently using, there was a provision in the contract that we were going to go away from the waterproof paper because those machines and the stock and the printers and stuff is kind of an expensive notion to carry. So the pricing was based on the fact that we would go away from that in 3 years. Well, it's been 4 years where we've kind of extended it on, and we're trying to make that transition. Just to let people know, we had 7 people show up to bid on our licensing thing and only received 3 bids because the other industries have gone away from that. The biggest one is like Brandt, who does Texas and Georgia, Virginia, Tennessee, not Texas, I'm sorry, Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, and Virginia. And they wouldn't even bid on it because they don't deal with printers and colorproof paper and stuff. So we're trying to kind of catch up with the other states and try to, you know, I don't know. We're just trying to be competitive and get these other industries to be able to deal with it. So other states have gone to it. We're trying to go to that 8.5 by 11. The nice thing is a person can print it off their home computer. They can buy it online. They can print it off their own computer. The problem is, like you said, the waterproof paper and the tag. So we're going to hopefully send out some messages of, you know, put a snack zip top bag and a zip tie, and you can fill it out, zip tie it to your deer. I know that's the problem with that. Also, we're trying to work with the vendor that came up with our self-clearing permit app, and we're trying to get our licenses on Louisiana Wallet, first off. And the second thing is do electronic tagging through that same self-clearing permit app. So if we can get some of those things done, I don't know how quickly those can happen, but I can say for next hunting season, not this hunting season. So we may have an uncomfortable hunting season this year, but I'm hoping for next hunting season we'll have a lot of other options other than the paper tag.
Great. One other question. Is this going to be a license for 365 days from the from the date of purchase, or is this going to be still June to June?
You're covering all the things I needed to say. Thank you so much. Yes.
Oh, these are from our listeners.
it's going to be a 365-day. And I want to warn people, like a lot of times my good friend of mine went fishing, snapper fishing, Memorial Day weekend, and he called me up and complained because his license was going to be, you know, ending June 30th. And if he does that this year right now, next May, it's going to do the same thing. But starting June 1st, if he buys that same license on June 2nd, it's good for 365 days. So starting, you know, June 1st, next year, it's a 365-day license, and it's going to be that way, you know, into the future, hunting and fishing.
All right, and finally, you start off by saying these new restructuring and increased prices, whatever the case, do not go in effect until next June 1st or the end of this license year. So if somebody sees something that's a bargain and I want to tell them that senior lifetime license is still $50, it's good until then, but it's going to go up after that, correct?
Yes, sir. And but I do want to say something about seniors if I have the time. The senior, the way that we phased in the senior increase on the annual senior license went from $5 to $20. But the way that we did it in the law, if someone did not require a license because they turned 60 after June 1st, 2000, still not going to require a license. Anyone who turned 60 after June 1st, 2000, and up until next June, 2022, they pay $5. They're going to pay $5 for the rest of their life. So we're not going to go up on the existing seniors. What we're doing is extending the senior age to 65, and once that person hits 65, it's going to be $20. So if anyone's saying, oh, you're going to go up on me 5 to 20, no, it's the people who are going to be – who are 58 right now that are going to really be mad at wildlife and fisheries.
Got it. Brian, we're out of time, but do you have one final thing maybe you might want to add?
No, sir, just thank you, and if you need to do this again, I'd love to do it.
We will. We will contact you because I'm sure I'm going to get some more questions because questions usually bring about more questions. It's a never-ending thing. You're doing a great job, Brian. Thank you so much. And, again, I want to remind people they can find this information on the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries website. Thanks again, Brian. We appreciate it. We'll see you next time.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Coming back after this, it's time for Mike Gallo's Fishing Report. Find out where he's headed over there in the eastern part of the state. Right after this pause, you're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And the Born on the Bayou Report with Mike Gallo is a presentation of CETO. You've probably heard them called AAA on the water because that's just what they're like. $179 entire year membership. They'll bring you fuel, jumpstart you for electrical problems, tow you in, whatever it takes to get you back in safely. It's peace of mind for you and your loved ones, and it's a one call away. Captain Chris, 504-301-4545. You'll enjoy talking to him. Or you can just click CETO.com and do it online. Captain Mike joins us now. Captain Mike, what are you up to on this muggy, look like a pop-up shower kind of day with a very strong tide range? What's on the plan?
I tell you, Don, it's been that same pattern for the last 4 days. And we're going to make our way over to the Biloxi Marsh, and we're going to throw a variety of artificial lures and pursue redfish. That's what we've been up to.
Have you gotten caught in any of those storms? Boy, that Biloxi Marsh seems to be a magnet for those storms moving from the south on, headed up to the north.
I tell you what, Don, a lot of people ask me over the years, what's your most valuable piece of equipment? And I guess 8 or 10 years ago, I purchased an antenna that hooks into my GPS that has radar, and I can monitor the weather. And that thing is just invaluable. I can see which direction it's coming, see if it's growing, see if it's dissipating, how fast it's moving, and just gives me, you know, safety now, for one thing. So, yes, I've gotten some minor showers on, but we've been able to tide's been pretty good. We've had many limits over the last couple of days come in with redfish limits.
Yeah. Have you run into any speckled trout, or you strictly been working redfish trips?
I did talk to Captain Jim. He was running a trip on this morning, and he fished, bounced around at some of the various rigs in Lake Bourne. And I think he told me he had he's a fisherman, so I guess I can lie for him. I think he said 25 to 30 trout yesterday, mostly fishing live stream shot.
I got it. Well, Mike, you're breaking up a little bit out there, but before you go, if you could, give us the information on contacting you. Somebody wants to get in a summertime trip and cruise across Lake Bourne and get into that Biloxi Marsh and fight some of those big bruiser redfish, or they want to load an ice chest up with some specs. Tell them how to get you.
Sounds good, Don. You can always find me on DonTheOutdoorsGuide.com. My website is AAofLA.com. We're on social media. You can call me on the telephone or text me at 985-781-7811.
All right, Mike, watch out for those thunderstorms, and we'll see you next week.
Sounds good, Don. We'll talk to you then. Have a good day.
All righty. Mike Gallo in an area where he's breaking up. You know, cell phones, part of wonderful things, but sometimes, you know, we put people in outer space. We can't talk on the phone. All right, we come back after this, get back to some of your text messages. Also, we got Brendan Bayard coming up. You like to paddle or pedal for your fish, as they say? Well, the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club and sponsors this along with Massey's. He's got a report for you next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And paddlecraft fishing, mainly kayaks, has become so popular. We've got a weekly fishing report just for the paddlers and the peddlers. It's a presentation of the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club, as well as Massey's Outfitters, who have locations in Mid-City New Orleans, Baton Rouge, and Covington, where you're going to find the best kayak fishing models from brands like Hobie, including that new Lynx model, Jackson Kayak, Native Watercraft. Check their website out for the products and also the scheduled demo days where you can try before you buy. That's at MasseyOutfitters.com or check them out on Facebook. Brendan Bayard joins us now. And, Brendan, you're headed to do a little bit of offshore kayak fishing down in the Florida Panhandle area. What are you expecting to catch over that way?
Yeah, Don, I try to do this every year in the early summer. Usually go out and do some bottom fishing for snapper and mangrove and whatever else is down there. Sometimes we've pulled up grouper even. You never know what you're going to get. Sometimes it's triggerfish. Sometimes you can chum the red snapper up right underneath the kayak. It's a mixed bag of stuff out there, but it's always an adventure. So got the kayaks loaded up, about to head out there, and looking forward to hopefully some good weather for the week and some opportunities to get out there. Usually we paddle about, you know, anywhere from 4 to 7 miles out and, do some bottom fishing on some spots we've had for a few years. And we stumble across a few every now and then and add them to the GPS. But, there's some trolling opportunities on the way out to those bottom spots that you can catch kingfish earlier in the season. You can catch even cobia and sometimes this time of year you'll see tarpon rolling. So always an adventure out there.
So what are those structures that the fish are over? Is it wrecks or reefs? They don't have any rigs out there, so you know, you got to find some kind of structure. What is it you're fishing over?
So some of the places are just kind of live bottom areas that people have noticed have kind of a growth of some sort or another that hold fish, which could be anything from just a few, you know, plants or deviations on the surface of the bottom, or maybe somebody went out there and dropped some tines on some buckets. A lot of people build their own structures. You might have guys that drop a bunch of shopping carts out there and mark it. You never really know what you're fishing exactly unless you're the person who made it. But there's also some wrecks that the Florida Department drops down and leaves on their website. I forgot the exact website, but you could look it up online. And there's kind of a whole post about, you know, different GPS locations with barges and reef balls and, you know, various things. And they're all within half a mile of each other, so you can just bounce from one to another and just keep on circulating through all day long. But always fun, and you always stumble across something, even if you didn't have any GPS. Once you get a little further out, you'll see people stopping, and there's just stuff everywhere out there.
Now, you say you go 4 to 7 miles out. How deep of water does that get you over there?
Probably 60, 70 feet deep over there. Maybe a little bit shallower, depending on where you launch out of. If you go out of Destin, it seems to be a little bit deeper. If you're over in the bar, maybe 10 foot less, about that same range. But there's always some fish out there. So cross my fingers, we catch them.
Now, you bringing cut bait with you, or do you fish in artificials?
Well, a lot of times we'll do is we'll bring a bag of cigar minnows with us as backup, but we on the way out, we'll usually stop right past the breakers or a little bit further and get into some bait balls, and we have a big PVC tube that we drag behind the boat that has kind of got holes drilled in it, but it's got kind of a torpedo tip. And we unscrew that tip and load it full of live cigar minnows or anything else that we catch, and kind of put it in there and drag it behind us the whole day. And every time we want to put a live bait, which I think are better for catching bigger fish, we'll do that until they run out, and then we'll switch to the dead cigar minnows and just use cut bait dropping down. But
sounds like you got a routine, a plan. Hope it works for you this weekend. But getting back to Louisiana, the Star, and I was giving the Star a rundown on the leaderboard. There's some opportunities in that kayak division. I know you keep an eye on it.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely in the East division, I think we got 2.31 leading, so that could be anywhere out of Hopedale or over there at Burris or something like that. I think if you're willing to put in some time over there, 2.3 is pretty easy to exceed. Southwest, that's always a tricky location to fish just because it's not the normal breakdown of where a lot of people kayak fish, because you have to paddle a little bit further in some of those freshwater launches to get to the trout, or at seasonal, which means you have to wait until maybe the end of the summer, where some of those deltas are producing less fresh water and those trout move into those spaces. But some opportunities definitely out there. West is looking good. I think it's got almost a 5-pound trout out there. And then Southeast, it's got probably a 3.5. But, you can beat that almost any day if you play your cards right, fishing out of Elmers or Bell Pass. So lots of opportunity in the Star.
Good deal. Brendan, thanks for the report. Good luck on your trip over to the East, and give us a report when you come back on how you guys did. We appreciate it.
Will do, Don. Thanks so much.
All righty. Brendan Bayard, one of our two field reporters for the Paddler's Report. We'll be talking to Captain Eric Mahabarak again next week. All right, coming back after this, which what you all wait for, you love it, you can't get enough of it. I'm talking about Bad Boys of the Outdoors, and this morning we call it The True Confessions of a Deer Poacher. He's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, I got a couple of questions for the, I guess it would have been for Secretary Brian McClinton with regard to the license sales that came in a little late before we lost him. One says, if I have a lifetime license, can I fish crab traps or do I need to buy a crab permit? No, if you have the lifetime license, or a saltwater recreational license, that covers now on the changes. And this is beginning next June of 2022, and the new licenses come out. You will be covered for them. But until then, you still need to get your crab trap license. But once you get the lifetime license, next year you will be able to, you'll be covered for the crab traps. All right. Also, I have another one here about if I apply for a lifetime license via email, do I have to include a birth certificate? My understanding is no, you do not. If you send in a copy of your driver's license, and then you also have to have another piece of identification proving your residency, which would be a voter's registration card for Louisiana, Louisiana vehicle registration, or state tax filing. If you include any of those three things with your driver's license, that's all you need to send. Birth certificate, actually, it's no longer required because they no longer have the kids. On the, I guess if you got the if you were under 18 and you're getting a lifetime license and you don't have a driver's license, then you probably would need a copy of the child's birth certificate, or you could do the parent's driver's license, and either one of those will be acceptable. All right, and again, you can find this stuff on the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries website. They've got one that specifically says the new restructuring changes, and you can kind of decipher it there. But we'll probably get Brian on again in the coming weeks, and we'll see if we got any more questions that come up and he can answer them for you. All right, right after we take this quick station identification pause, Bad Boys of the Outdoors. It's time for that story that we tell you about, a guy confessing to shooting deer from a public road and out of season. We got his story next on the Outdoors with Don Buick right after we pause these 10 seconds for our local stations to identify. Earlier this month, Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Senior Agent Richard Bean, Corporal Ryan Bro, and Senior Agent Jonathan Boudreau got an anonymous tip about a Gibson man shooting a deer from a public road in Terrebonne Parish. After Brandon DeLozier was located and questioned, He confessed to shooting the deer from a public road on June 1st. The agents seized his deer and donated it to a local charity and proceeded to write citations for hunting deer during closed season and from a public road, for which combined criminal fines and civil restitution for the value of the illegally taken deer of up to $3,074.61 and a possible 120 days in jail await 33-year-old Brandon M. Delosier of Gibson, Louisiana, our bad boy of the outdoors. Never ends, never a shortage of bad boy stories. We'll have another one for you next week. All right, coming back after this, let's talk to the plastic man, Captain Ryan Lambert, find out what he's doing this June weekend down at the Cajun Fishing Adventures in Buras, Louisiana. He's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And the plastic man around here is known as Ryan Lambert of the Cajun Fishing Adventures in Buras. Captain Ryan, what's going on down there this June weekend?
Well, we're out here catching fish. every day, buddy. It's a little windy today. It's been really beautiful all week. I mean, we had some late thunderstorms pop up, but, you know, you can expect that. Fish been biting good. The bait's moved in over here in a big way this week. All shorelines are just full of mullets, cogies. I see a lot of shrimp jumping, but the speckled trout have moved in and catching limits of reds with them. So, you know, pretty good.
You fishing on the east side this morning?
Yeah, Julian. We very seldom fish on the west anymore. And there's just nothing left over there as far as habitat. Today it'd be pretty rough over there because it's all open water. But as soon as the river goes down a little bit more, then I'll start going that way and then heading for the beach and kind of heading toward the west a little bit. The speckled trout have moved in over there, so we were catching them. But we fish 98% of the time on the east side. And back in the day, I fished 100% on the west. I never came east, ever.
Well, that certainly has changed. There's no doubt about that. Now, these redfish that you're chasing over there, are these the bulls or are these the slot size? What kind of redfish are you catching lately?
Slot fish, you know, anything from 16 on up to 30s. I ain't seen a lot of bulls yet. You know, I saw some, where was I last week? Yeah, over there on the west side, actually. I was on the west side. I saw a bunch of bulls. And, you know, they're coming along the beach, and now that this bait is starting to move in, the river's going to drop to 6 foot, you know, sometime in about 2 weeks, it'll be 6 foot. So, you know, that's magic right there. Not this base move, then they go come right behind us. Everything will start coming from the big water and coming on the inside to beat on all these moves and bogies. Then life is going to be really good.
So are you fishing canals, bayous, or are you fishing along the shorelines there, just kind of cruising the shoreline with the trolling motor? You know, it's endless, the vast amount of broken marsh they got over there on that side.
It really is. I mean, we got 41% of the nation's wetlands in, you know, just in Louisiana. And Plaquemines Parish has 14% of the nation's wetlands. So, yeah, you can get lost out here just going down shorelines. But that's a good way right now because the water's pretty and you can get on a shoreline and just throw plastic down and fish trout and reds, anything else you want, you know. But, you know, 90% of the guys now will sit on the point with the live shrimp, and, you know, that's how they fish it. Very successful at it. You know, I don't care for it, but you got to do it.
What do you look for on a shoreline? I mean, there's so much of it there. How do you pick a spot? And I notice when you're fishing, you're looking way out in front of the boat down the shoreline, looking for little telltale signs. What are some of the things that's a dead giveaway that there's some redfish schooling on a particular point?
When I'm looking down there on a pretty calm day, I'm just looking for a push, a swirl, you know, a shrimp jumping. If you're seeing shrimp jump, just one or two little minnows jumping, 99% of chance that's a redfish coming down the bank, and you can just watch where that is, and next thing you know, you'll make him out. You'll see his tail move, or you'll see the fish. You know, you'll see something, and that, you know, it's pretty easy to target them like that. So, you know, most of the time I'm looking for fish, but
If I see something jumping in, they don't jump for any reason. They run up there. So it makes it pretty simple. And the trout, you know, there's no birds working. So we're just looking for bait and looking for current that go around the points. And if you get the current and the bait, clean water, you're going to get fish like I got right now on the line.
Well, go ahead and fight him and talk on the radio at the same time and run a trolling move. I know you multitask and you can do it.
Just another one, another fish, brother. Make it a
we
living.
Can hear him. What'd you catch that one on?
That one, they caught him on a cork, popping under a cork. Mm-hmm. Not me, the customer's got him, so keep going about my business. You know how it is. Great habitat. I mean, it's growing like crazy. We're going to have great habitat for ducks this year. The marsh is growing pretty. I mean, it's going to be nice.
Well, they're having a bad drought up north, though. Real bad up in Dakotas.
They're talking about next year, either 45 and 5 or 30 and 3. You know, they already start talking about sing the blues, so I don't know what I would do with 30 and 3. That's a bad deal for me. Not only business-wise, but personally, I don't know if I could take that.
Now, would they change it down in Mexico necessarily if they cut the limits and days here?
No, not normally. I'm going to go down on August 12th will be my first day. I'm going to shoot white wings down there August 12th and make sure my eyes are open when the blue wings come down. I don't want to start off rusty, so we'll start off shooting right away. I got the first dove hunt, so it's going to be unbelievable. 14-wing dove, yeah. That's a good thing.
You know, we're not that far away from the teal season. You know that, don't you?
I know. That's why I'm going to get my eye right. Aquatic vegetation is coming up really nice. It's going to be good. I think, you know, we just need a cool front, too, right there in the middle of teal season, and that'll make it really good. We don't need hurricanes like last year. I mean, last year we killed, 132 the first day, and the second day we had a big hurricane come in, but you was with me that day, and the water came up. So they just move on. Unfortunately, because we had the birds, too. It's disheartening, but that's teal hunting.
Yep. Well, Ryan, if somebody wants to get in on some of this stuff, give them the information on how to contact you. You're pretty easy to find these days.
CajunFishingAdventures.com, or you can call me on my cell at 504-559-5111. Teal season, too. You know, usually we don't book every day for teal season, but I think we got someone every single day for teal season already, so it'll be a busy year.
Yeah, well, you know, teal season is great for the cast and blast because it's a real quick morning hunt, and you got the rest of the afternoon to fish.
And the bull reds will take that time of year, so it's win-win for people out of state to come kill a limited teal, and they come in, eat a nice lunch, and go whack some bull reds. So it works out good.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's good for us in-town people, too. It ain't bad.
Well, Whiskey, I'll save a spot for you, bro.
Yes, indeed. I'll be looking for it. All right, Chief. Have a good day down there. Take care of your customers, and we'll catch up with you next week.
All right, buddy. I'll take it easy.
All right. Captain Ryan Lambert, Cajun Fishing Adventures. All right. I got a couple more text messages coming in about licenses. We'll try to get some answers for you on that. Also, we'll kind of wrap up what we talked about. If you got up a little bit late, we got it coming at you right after this timeout where you're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, kind of catching up on some more of these text messages coming in. Question about the Rozos, still infested with those bugs. You know, we had that big problem with the bugs on the Rozo cane that was killing it, and I haven't really heard much about that. I was meaning to ask Ryan Lambert, but I'm sure that kind of has worked itself out because you just don't hear much about it at all, and I'm sure we would if, in fact, it was still a threat to the Rozo canes. And last places I've been, they look pretty healthy to me. Anyone else has any information on them, feel free, text it to us, 504-260-1870. All right, here's a question coming in. This is from a Mississippi area code. Can a non-resident buy a lifetime license? If so, how much is it? All right, this is very important. They do sell non-resident hunting and fishing licenses. Right now, you can buy it for $3,000, and that may sound like a lot of money, but depending on your age, it could actually well pay for itself into the years. But here's the kicker. This time next year, on June of 2022, that same non-resident license will go to $4,000. So you'll save $1,000 if you buy it between now and next June. So I would strongly suggest you do that. Also, on the lifetime resident for senior hunting or fishing, it is $50 right now. You can save some money because next year that will go to $100. All right, I got another one says, are there any changes to the $5 senior hunt and fish combination license for people over 60? Let me check on that. Let's see. Senior hunting and fishing license. If you're 60 by June 1st of 2000, it is going to be free. If you're 60 by June 1st of 2022, it'll be $5. And if you are 65 plus, after June 1st of 2027, it'll cost you $20. We're not talking about a lot of money there, high stakes, but I'm suggesting anyone that is in that senior category, go ahead and take advantage. Buy that license now for $50. You're covered for the rest of your life for just hunting, fishing, and all those accessories, too, like the gear license for the shrimp trawl and the crab traps and the oyster tong. All that would be covered. All right. If you got any more questions about that, text them in, and I'll pass those along next time we get Brian on. And I also want to remind you about a really nice big event coming up. This is the rodeo season. The 88th Annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. That's going to be July 15, 16, 17, and then 18th. It's at Dauphin Island. Way stations open from 10 to 7. And then on Sunday, the way station will close at 5. And then at 6:30, anybody who weighs or just got to weigh a legal fish and you're participating in the rodeo, you'll qualify for a drawing for a contender 25-foot bay boat with a 250 Yamaha and a Seakeeper boat stabilizer. The final award ceremony for this is going to be moved to the grounds in Mobile, and that'll be at 6 o'clock on the Monday. All right, next week when you tune into the show, we'll be on the 4th of July weekend. Extra day for you red snapper fishermen. Don't forget about that. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. It's a four-day fishing weekend for the red snapper. Still two fish per person, minimum 16 inches. Recapping some of our reports, probably Robbie Campo, Shell Beach, had the best action over there. They're catching some snapper at those rigs that are accessible. Also, some of the outer islands are picking up some nice speckled trout, Comfort Island, the Long Rocks, Hopedale Dam's another spot. Hoping to get a good report from the chef, from Jeff Brule. He's out there fishing today. Redfish are tearing up down there by Ryan Lambert and Burris on some of those open bays and shorelines. And when that water clears up and settles down, Grand Isle's been the hot spot for catching some of those speckled trout. You do have to kind of weed through them, a lot of small fish in there. All right, that's about going to wrap it up for today. Hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you'll tune us in again next week and every week. We do this each and every week, 5 to 7 a.m. to get you started for your great trip to the outdoors. We take your text messages, your calls, comments, and questions. Have a great weekend and look forward to the big 4th of July. Don't forget, bring that rain suit this weekend. Good chance of rain, but lots of good fun to be had. We'll see you next week on another edition of The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.